This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome into a nice new WEI experiment. I am your host for this evening, this week, for the future, Courtney Fallon, joined by my esteemed colleague here, Mark James. Thank you so much for picking up the pieces and coming on the show. This is just a new experiment. I don't even know what the show is called, but it's a podcast, Patriots Heavy podcast, for the great station of WEI.
Right. Courtney with a C, Mark with a C. And Eastern Mass, Western Mass.
If you ever use my name with a K.
Those are fighting words?
Living in Los Angeles, the amount of times it's like, hi, how do you spell your name? Courtney with a K? Do I look like a Kardashian?
No.
Don't come at me with that.
No. Courtney with a C is the proper way it should be spelled. And you're definitely, well, it's not only a testament to you, but an indictment on the Kardashians that, yes, you are next level, certainly above them. There's some sort of broadcasting talent that you have that has been bereft of that family. That's for sure. But you know what? Kudos to them. It is what it is. I don't get it, but somehow, some way, they've made millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars because people just want to watch them live on a reality show. Their mom is extremely
the devil
marketable, but in
she
terms,
just
yes
she
sold, oh, she made a deal with the devil.
Oh no, but she made a deal with the devil, and its name is TMZ. That's
yes, and E Entertainment Television too.
Spoon feeds them stories. I mean, I'm surprised she hasn't come out with any good sports stories that she could feed them.
Oh, I'm sure there's a few.
Or maybe with Tristan. But let's switch the gears. Talk about like the hometown here. You're from Springfield,
Western Mass. Yep.
There was a couple of tickets tonight left out on the intercom desk for Cirque du Soleil at DCU, and I'm surprised that you didn't skip your shift tonight.
I couldn't believe it.
And just go jet over to. I looked at him. He goes, "Hey, like, look at these tickets." And Who wants to go to Worcester at the DCU Center on a Thursday
Yeah,
night?
That's why they were there. They couldn't give them away, literally. when you see tickets, kind of like leftover food from earlier in the day, when that stuff is left out there, that simply means that nobody wants it. Nobody. You know, it wasn't the reunion coming up next year with the 80s hair rock tour with Motley Crue, Def Leppard, and Poison. Those would be hard to get, I'm sure. These were ones that, I mean, like, you could have given them away to, you know, you could have given them away to your family. Like, you would have your whole section. And I'm sure it was great tonight in Worcester. But, there's a lot of places I like to be on Thursday night. At the DCU in Worcester is probably not one of them.
All right. So what was it like growing up in Worcester? I mean, you're an hour away.
Western Mass, Springfield.
I'm sorry. There's a big difference.
Oh, huge difference. Listen, with all due respect to Worcester getting the Paw Sox, at least in Springfield, we've got the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
We got Six Flags.
Yes.
And now
we have Six Flags? And that's new.
No. It's been there. It's been in Agawam, but it's right next. It's basically Springfield. It's right next. So it's in the bordering town where Riverside Hyde Park used to be. So it's Six Flags now. And now we have MGM.
Well, don't you have, is Avon out there too? I remember being a kid. You remember but Jordan's Furniture?
Yeah, of course.
The Jordan's Furniture experience was always like, it was like over an hour away. And that was when they came out with those like moving seats and the kind of, Universal Studios, like, 3D experience. Do you not remember going to that? I never went to it.
I don't know if it was in Western Mass.
I don't even know where Avon was. But now you have the Woo Socks out there.
Well, Avon.
You know, you guys have, listen, living in Western Massachusetts, you have upgraded significantly. You have the AAA baseball team.
No, but that's Central Mass.
What do you mean?
That's Worcester Central Mass. We're Western Mass. We're like 45 minutes away from Worcester.
Okay, are you close to Amherst, where my parents went to college?
Yeah, they went to UMass?
Yes.
Okay.
My dad opened the pub in Western Mass.
Oh,
he opened the pub.
Okay. Cool. Speaking of Amherst, guess what?
What?
I will be there on behalf of WEI. I have an appearance this Sunday at the Spoke in Amherst.
Listen.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Oh, my God.
It was great promotion for that. So for the Patriots-Chiefs game, I'll be out there on Sunday, an hour before the game, for the entire first half. So come on out. We're going to have Bud Light specials. We're going to be giving away Bud Light Patriots gear, WEI gear, all that stuff this Sunday about 3:30. So come on out.
And make sure that when you leave, after you've had six or seven Bud Lights, don't drive down the Mohawk Trail. My dad loves his riding his motorcycles over there. It's a Mohawk Trail. I just name dropped big time. See,
your dad's a writer, huh? Mohawk Trail. That's some pretty serious stuff right there.
Oh my God. Yeah, well, so I mean, listen, I grew up in right outside of Boston, Winchester, Massachusetts. Went to the Celtics game last night, hopped on the train, paid like $13. I had there in 15 minutes. I was on the train with like a bunch of little high school seniors.
So it comes from Winchester? Like there's a stop there?
Yeah, no, it's the first stop out of North Station, and it's the most convenient stuff I've ever.
Do you get to park for free there too?
No, in my town.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
But you don't have to pay to park. Sometimes you got to pay to park.
No. Wow. That's why I did it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You are so lucky.
And I shared my train ride with these four kids from my old high school, Winchester High School. And they're sitting there like, oh, my God. And they were asking me, you work for EEI. That's awesome. Tell us everything about the NFL. Tell us about the Patriots. Who's mean? Who's not? Actually, that's a good question. Start up. Who is the meanest player that you have ever encountered in the media, player? And I'll give my story right after.
Okay. Because I haven't encountered any mean Patriot players.
No. That's what they said. I'm not even just saying that.
Like, I have not. Now.
I thought this was a great story, kind of off the track while you think about it.
Yeah.
Ron Rivera, who was just let go of the Carolina Panthers, was highly criticized for bringing around his wife and his daughter, Courtney. I always knew that I liked that guy. He named his daughter Courtney.
I was there when he was named head coach in Carolina. I did the afternoon drive on WFNZ, which is now an Entercom affiliate in Charlotte, when he was named head coach. I was there for the first 3.5 years of the Ron Rivera era.
My NFL player, who is the biggest... biggest jerk that I've ever encountered is no doubt Cam Newton.
Okay, I could see that.
I can totally see that. I literally would want nothing more than this prick who dipped out on the podium session after he lost the Super Bowl, after he was just showboating like the jerk that he is.
Yeah, remember the pants he came in and went with? Remember when he left Charlotte and he came
outfits,
with those pants?
Outfits. Listen, I have a story. Hey. So when I was working for NFL Network, we had a media session.
Yeah.
I walked in. It's early morning. I was, did my 6 a.m. hits and we're coming and we're waiting. And this jerk, we're waiting and I'm realizing, like, why has Cam Newton not come to the podium? I'm realizing he's sitting in the front row of the press conference, chopping it up, talking about Skittles and Snicker bars and candy canes and all this nonsense. And just like on the local media, he's sitting there talking to them. And all of a sudden when I realized that we were waiting for 15 minutes for this guy who was sitting here just blowing everyone off, and I almost lost my mind. I'm like, hey, bro, like, can you get up and sit? And the Panthers media people, they have no power over him.
None.
They have
none.
Absolutely zero power.
And I know all of them.
Zero power.
None.
And I'm like, he finally gets up after the entire room is quiet for 5 minutes while he finishes his conversation, because once we realize that he was sitting in the goddamn first row, and he gets on the podium and he starts singing Michael Jackson, not answering questions. As you remember, Jordan Ridigo, or I'm not sure how to pronounce her last name, but he criticized one of the female reporters. He was like, "Oh, you know, I think it's really cute that you talk X's and O's."
Oh,
I mean, he's just a jerk.
Yeah.
And anyone that defends him,
oh, I know,
is just good riddance.
Well,
good riddance to you.
I will tell you. Let me give you, because I was there. I was the first person in Carolina when he was the number one overall pick in the 2011 draft. They flew me up there, and I got the first interview of anybody in Carolina with Cam Newton.
Awesome.
But I am certainly no fan of this guy. He's been a guy that he's sort of like, and he reminds me a little bit of, he's the Russell Westbrook of the NFL.
Yeah.
An unbelievably talented player, both won an MVP, neither one will ever lead you to a title. They look great on highlights, amazing in box scores at times, but they will never lead you to a title. And every time I was critical of Cam Newton in Charlotte, I can't even tell you this, I would get death threats.
No.
People couldn't take
this. Oh, you know, Panthers fans, they don't mess around.
First of all, people down there, it's not like up here. You can rag on Tom Brady and not need the Massachusetts State Troopers to escort you to your car. There, if you rag on Cam Newton, you're ragging on their mothers.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're ragging on. So that's another thing. They're so, like, it's a very thin skin. Cam Newton, I will tell you, had he got drafted in New England, well, that wouldn't have happened because Brady was here, but I'm just hypothetical. New England, Philly, New York, or Chicago.
You don't think he would have an attitude?
No. He wouldn't have made it as long as he has. He wouldn't have been an MVP.
Point.
He would never have been some, because he needed to be in a completely coddled, enabled environment. And by, you mentioned, the media relations, the fans, the media with their softball questions. I thought if I was going to encapsulate Cam Newton's career in one play, it would be that Super Bowl against Denver when the ball was on the ground, 4.5 minutes to go, Carolina's down by 5, and all he had to do, 6'5", 260, is dive on the ball. And instead, he was too scared. He pulled up. He literally pulled up, and the Broncos recovered, and it was game over.
Yep.
And then they asked him about it afterwards, and he's like, oh, my knee torqued. I'm like, dude, this is the Super Bowl. You will never get this close. And he's never even sniffed that close since then. Cam Newton, he's just a guy that has gotten by on talent and ability. I'm not saying he doesn't work hard, because he does, but he's a guy who has been sort of overrated by the media, but now you start to see that. What's amazing to me is, like, even in this year, before he got hurt and his foot, like, the game against Tampa Bay on a Thursday night, I think it was Thursday night, towards the beginning of the season, he's still making the same mistakes he was making in year one. He's throwing off his back foot. He's not going through his progressions. He's not going through his reads. He's just going out there, and he's effing winging it. And it's like, the more things change, the more they stay the same. But here's the thing with Cam. His body has taken a huge hit because of all the hits. Now, granted, because...
I mean, that's his style. He's a run-first option kind of option quarterback.
But because of everything that he's gone through, his body has now taken such a beating that you can tell the residual effects of all those hits over the years. And I'll admit that the officials, because of his size, he doesn't get the flags that Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, that they let, that, like,
probably because of his attitude and the way that he acts off the field.
Here's the thing that I thought about Cam before he came out in the draft. I remember he said this to, like, what's the guy's name? Noah Naraki from Pro Football Weekly.
I don't know who that is.
And he said something like, you know, I want to be an icon. He was more concerned. Listen, when Cam...
That sounds a little bit like Odell Beckham.
Right.
He's making his way to Foxborough. That's another conversation.
He came to Carolina with, he was more concerned, I think, with, like, do you know in his first year in Carolina, he released a clothing line at Belk department stores?
No, I did not.
He released a clothing line. It completely, totally failed. And this is the thing that, and so he struggled, and a lot of people don't know this, so I'll divulge this on your podcast, because I don't care. It's all in the open.
Yeah.
He struggled. I'm not going to tell you which teammate, but one of his former teammates, I'll let you figure out who it is. Makes it, no, I'm not going to admit it on the air.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to admit it on the air.
That's my thinking noise.
But one of his former teammates said that. So the Mannings do something with David Cutcliffe in Durham and with all quarterbacks, pro, college, and they help guys who are going through things. And Cam's first 2 years in the NFL, he was struggling big time. And so he was offered, and they had told him, and one of his former teammates had said, hey, why don't we go to this thing down the road in Durham? It's 2.5 hours away. Peyton, Archie, Eli are there.
Yeah.
Gave him the hand. Not, I got it. I'm like, that's Cam. He's got all the answers, but he doesn't have it. But he never studied for the test. That's his problem. That's the way he's always been. And you're starting to see he has now entered probably the last 5 to 6 holes of his career. He's
five
on the
or six holes.
Maybe 2 holes.
Maybe 2,
right.
Or 3. I mean, and then my next question is where Ron Rivera goes. Is it a set deal that Cam Newton is coming with him and is a package deal?
Oh, you think
to be honest.
So you think this is any given Sunday? Kind of like Steamin' Willie Beeman when Al Pacino's character took him with him to the expansion team? No. I don't think.
I mean, but that's, listen, like, I don't, that is what a lot of people are talking about on the national radio airwaves. Like,
I could see that.
Hey, wherever Ron Rivera goes, I mean, like, you know, he's going to bring Cam Newton. It's like, it blows my mind because I'm like, where are people picking up on this? Do you have sources that say that they want to go together? Because to be honest, if I'm Cam Newton's camp, I'm going to go with Ron Rivera because that's going to be the only guy that's going to help him out and that's going to be able to put up with his BS. I'm having a conversation with, you know, an NFL player it's a friend of mine from back in Miami, and he's griping to me today about how he got brought back and cut. And he's like, listen, like, I can't tell you how much of this business is politics.
Yes.
It's like, it really is. He goes, my general manager went to bat for me like 3 or 4 times. When the GM steps in and your head coach, who has been in the league, and I won't say his name, if he doesn't like you, it's like you're out and you're on the street, man. Like, if Cam Newton It does not go with Ron Rivera to another franchise, whether it is the Chicago Bears or apparently, you know, the Bears are thinking playoffs now and, you know, they have a whole revival. If Cam Newton doesn't go in a package deal with Ron Rivera, he's going to be out of the league in like 2 years.
Oh, I don't think so, just because of his size.
Yeah, but who's going to put up with his crap?
Well, that's just it. Here's the thing. That's a good point. This is not
everything that you're saying and everything for the last 5 minutes that you just went on this rant. And I mean, I kind of started the fire and you went along with it he's one of the most polarizing figures in the NFL.
Yeah, and let me
I don't think he's going to last, Mark.
And I
really don't.
And here's another thing too about Cam is that the one thing I will give him credit about, he's really good with kids. He does a lot for kids, but the thing also about
that is the saving grace for every fan base.
But the one thing,
I can't tell you how many times, Cam is so good with the kids.
Right.
Like, I don't care if they're nice to a 5-year-old boy. Like, be nice to someone that works alongside you.
The thing about Cam, though, unlike Shaq, I'm just gonna bring up Shaq. Shaq would just, to like one of the custodians at the Staples Center, the guy who was driving some beat down car, Shaq brought him a brand new car and show up the next day and gave him the keys. Cam would never do that. Cam is all about the red light. Cam is about the brand. He's about himself. And there is not a more, to me, disingenuous athlete in professional sports than Cam Newton.
There
really isn't. He's all about image. He's all about this. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I think he puts more preparation in what he's going to wear to his post-game press conferences than he does into the game plan.
Yep.
I really do. And you could see it. It's like and the thing is now, 2015 was a long time ago. You know who won an MVP the year after Cam? Matt Ryan. What has he done since? Nothing. So you can win an MVP. Hey, Mark Moseley, who was a kicker with the Redskins, won an MVP in like the early 80s. Like, that's great. You got your one MVP and that's fine. But I will tell you that Cam Newton will never, ever come close to sniffing a Super Bowl as a starting quarterback in the NFL. He might be a backup for Russell Wilson or Patrick Mahomes or someone of that ilk. He will never be someone who's going to lead a team to the Super Bowl. I was surprised they even got there to begin with, but they had a great year. But when a Vince Lombardi trophy, and the only time that this, well, other than the time they played the Patriots, but they actually had a legitimate chance to win this game in the fourth quarter. The ball's on the ground. It's a fumble. He could have easily jumped on it, and he pulled it. Just go watch it. It's there. Like, there's memes on Twitter about it. It's like, that to me will be a microcosm of Cam Newton's NFL career.
Anyways, you mentioned a guy. Patrick Mahomes is coming to the field at Gillette Stadium. This was a game, and it reminded me, like, before the season, you circle certain games on the calendar. This was the game.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone circled on the calendar, and suddenly, we're talking about this game might as well have been flexed to, like, 10:30 in the morning, and no one really cares about it.
No, people care about it. I think the more intrigue now is just what happened from, like, last Sunday night, where the Patriots completely got exposed for a lack of weapons for Tom Brady in the offense, and now it's almost looking like, well, last year they lost two games in December and they were 9-5 and they ended up winning. They never lost again. They ended up winning the Super Bowl. I don't know if that's the case this year. They actually were able to, even losing Josh Gordon last year, they still had Gronk. Edelman wasn't as banged up. The offense was a little bit more cohesive. Sony Michel was having a better year. Of course, the O-line had Trent Brown and David Andrews, which they haven't had either this year. They just got back Isaiah Wynn. But I think coming off Sunday night, this is going to be a really intriguing game. I'm the only person in the media, I believe, in Boston who picked against the Patriots, against Baltimore and Houston, which I did last week, and I'm 2-0. That's the thing, is that that's the strength of the Patriots team, is the defense and special teams. And the defense and special teams, if they don't win this game, they're not going to win it. Because I looked at, you can go back to the Dallas game. If I always said this, if you traded weapons for weapons but left the quarterbacks on their team, and you gave Dallas New England's skilled players, and then you gave New England Dallas. So Tom Brady had Ezekiel Elliott, Gallup, and Amari Cooper, along with Jason Witten, who's old but still productive. If you did it against Houston, oh my God, could you imagine Tom Brady with Will Fuller, Kenny Stills, and Nuke Hopkins, Carlos Hyde, and Duke Johnson on the backfield, Darren Fells, who has 7 touchdown catches this year? You do it again this Sunday? Imagine Tom Brady with Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Mecole Hardman, Sammy Watkins, LeSean McCoy, who can still run the ball. It's unbelievable. I'm not just some Brady apologist, but it's so transparent that the Patriots, they just don't have it. You can see the frustration on Tom Brady's face. He's throwing his helmet when he comes off the sideline. When the Patriots were down 7-3, he's chewing everybody out. He's had it. And I don't blame him. Because
I don't blame him either.
Because this has gone on way too long. And I've said this on WEI time and time again. I think that Robert Kraft really got a hasty trigger finger when he cut Antonio Brown, and then all of a sudden, the Patriots have not been able to pick up the pieces since then.
I mean, like, this is such a polarizing topic. I can't tell you how many times people are like, bring AB back, bring him back, bring him back. Why do you want this asshat on your team?
Because he's...
I know, but okay, so are you pro AB, or are you not?
Pro, all the way, pro.
I don't want to... I've said this
times. What's the word? Like, okay, here's...
The distraction in the locker room is all-consuming. People are asking questions over and over again to position players, down to the guy that cleans
long
up
snapper.
The toilets.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why do you want that? I mean, what does Bill preach all the time is distraction. I don't want this guy back on my team. I'm tired of his social media act. Posted a picture today with a selfie of him and Tom Brady. Hey, I miss you, big bro. Big bro? Like, what has he done for you in your career or your life versus like throwing 4 passes to you in a meaningless game in September against Miami Dolphins?
Yeah, but Brady did open up his home. He opened his home to him.
But he opened up his home to Chad Ochocinco too. That's such a gimmick of, you know, just Tom Brady being a gentleman and Tom Brady wanting to extend an arm to someone who is a veteran more than these young guys who don't know how to take a trigger finger quick out. you know, when they show the gun. I mean, it blows my mind that at least in this perspective, and I know that we heard from Josh McDaniels earlier in the week, and the tone that McDaniels had during his press conference on the phone with reporters on a Tuesday was more or less, we're going to keep trying. We're going to keep going. They're not making any changes to this roster. I'm sorry, Deion Sanders. I'm sorry to everyone in the media. This roster is staying the same.
Well,
like Wes Welker, Danny Amendola is not walking through that door.
Well, here's the thing. That's fine.
McDaniels said it, and he said it vehemently, and it should be noted. We have to keep trying. We're not going to reinvent the wheel. And my perspective on everything that's going on within this organization, within McDaniels, I'm not so entirely sure, like the Rivera-Newton comparison, that Josh McDaniels is going to go somewhere and bring Tom Brady with him. I don't really think that he is his guy, because if he really was his guy, he would create another wrinkle in this offense. He would do something else to appease Tom.
But I don't think it's, listen, I think Brady's totally content with McDaniels. I think he just doesn't like the personnel that are out there, the guys that he's throwing
too bad,
to.
Tom. Boo-hoo.
But here's the thing. You're not putting your team, your player in the best position to succeed.
Stay up until 1 a.m. Are we seeing any evidence that Tom is putting in any more effort with the young guys, Jacoby Myers and Philip Dorsett? I mean, like,
well, to Philip Dorsett, he's been in the league a while.
He's been on this roster for three years.
Yeah, I mean, it's like 3 years, so he needs to get with it, and he completely missed the double signal last week, which that was the thing that triggered Brady to go off on the sidelines. I think ultimately what it comes down to is that that's fine. You got to keep trying harder. If you don't bring Antonio Brown back, I'm just letting you know, you're not only going to not win a 7th Super Bowl, you're not going to get there. This team is not good enough to get there.
This team right now is walking into a first round exit.
Right. I mean, okay, like, good. At least you understand that this is what it is.
I get it. Listen, look what happened to the 49ers this last weekend. Number one seed in the NFC. They lose a game, and all of a sudden, boom, fifth seed.
So what?
Can you not see that happening to the Patriots in the next couple of weeks?
Hey,
maybe slipping from number two seed all the way to the sixth seed?
All I know is this.
Like, I mean, and then all of a sudden, like, people, then the alarms are going to go off. You're going to be playing on Wild Card Weekend, and it's going to be over.
All I know,
over before it started. And I mean, this offense is just, I have all the faith in the world they're going to turn this around. But like you said, I am not entirely sure. If you can't even put up 20 points per game, what are you doing?
Well, here's the thing.
What are you doing?
They're 24th in the NFL in red zone percentage, which obviously, I guess perhaps the loss of red zone coordinator Chad O'Shea, because the Dolphins, who have no quarterback, whether it be Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's like 58 years old, or a horrible bust first round pick in Josh Rosen, who was selected in front of both, he wasn't selected ahead of Lamar Jackson, the MVP this year. So there's that. So here's my thing.
Poor Josh Rosen. He doesn't deserve it, though.
No.
He might be a huge NFL. He might be an NFL jerk.
Well, here's the thing, is that this Patriots team, they're nowhere near where they were 2 years ago, and they're nowhere near as good as they were last year. And 2 years ago, they didn't even have Edelman, because he got hurt in the preseason game against Detroit. Yeah. He was out the whole year. So this team right now, this is the worst offense I've seen in New England since 06 with Doug Gabriel, Jabbar Gaffney, Rashay Caldwell.
Crazy eyes, Rashay.
A really past his prime Troy Brown, and a fat Corey Dillon and phony Maroney. This is as bad, if not worse, than that team. So that team.
What did they do the next year? They went out and got Randy Moss.
And Dante Stallworth and Wes Welker.
Yep.
Now, Wes Welker wasn't Wes Welker.
Yeah.
He wasn't that. Yeah, he was cut by the Dolphins, and they didn't want him. And the Dolphins had only won one game the previous season. Belichick turned him into this slot receiver star who completely reinvented himself. And not only, he basically reinvented the wide receiver position in the slot. But this team, to me, I can see it right now. If they lose on Sunday, if they do, and there's a very high likely chance they will, they're going in 2 weeks. And let's just say this Sunday, Buffalo beats Baltimore. And I think Buffalo will beat Baltimore on Sunday.
Hot take alert.
Hey, I think they will. So you're talking about in 2 weeks, that AFC East division
up for grabs
in 2 weeks at Gillette Stadium. Buffalo in December, 4 days before Christmas. Buffalo coming in here, and at that point, you're like, wow. Now, I will take the Patriots on that one, but they have put themselves in a position, and a caller, Danny and Quincy, is one of my favorite ones. He's a longtime caller here all over the Boston airwaves. And I've said this before, and I said it, Courtney, last week, mm-hmm. prior to the game against Houston.
Yeah.
I said they have the best record in the NFL right now. They're 10-1 at that point. They're not better than San Francisco. They're definitely not better than Baltimore. They're not better than Seattle, and they're not better than New Orleans. After the loss to Houston, I'm going to throw Green Bay. I don't think they're better than Green Bay. I think they're the sixth best.
I think Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers, I think that they're frauds.
But they could be. I think Buffalo's frauds. Danny Quincy said this, and he goes, they're 10-2, but it feels like they're 6-6.
Yeah.
And it doesn't it?
Yep.
Doesn't it really feel like they're just fighting around 500, struggling to try to get in the playoffs? It doesn't feel at all like they're 10-2. It feels like they're trending in reverse and they're going backwards. And this Sunday, okay, you beat Mahomes. I covered the game last year here in New England on a Sunday night, which was phenomenal when they had Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill. They beat him in the AFC Championship game, but you know, both of those games could have gone either way.
Yep.
And I don't, like, try going for the hat trick on Sunday against Patrick Mahomes. I don't think, I haven't made my pick yet, but I have to tell you, I wouldn't bet on the Patriots on Sunday.
And it doesn't help also, too, Tom Curran of NBC Sports Boston coming out with an article discussing that these are the final days of Tom Brady and the New England Patriots.
And who's more connected to the Patriots and to Tom Brady than Tom Curran?
Here's what I will say this off the bat. Anyone that has sources in the NFL or with the Patriots, you are either a Jonathan Kraft guy, a Bill Belichick guy, or you are a Tom Brady guy. Tom Curran is more or less a Tom Brady guy.
Yep.
I mean, the stuff that comes out, I mean, it's
he admitted openly, he's part of TB12.
Yeah, no, he's openly admitted. I'm glad that I didn't just break the news.
No, he's admitted
Because
him and Shaughnessy, I don't know if you saw this, you were in LA last year, him and Shaughnessy got into a knockdown, drag out fight last year on NBC Sports Boston.
I love Shaughnessy. First of all, Shaughnessy discovered me many
years ago. So Shaughnessy said to him, they were going at it, and he goes, you know, if you do like Tom Curran goes, if you actually came down and did some digging, he goes, well, we had Bob Holler down there, and he goes, yeah, and Tom goes, Bob Holler, but if you actually did some digging, and Shaughnessy came right at Curran, he goes, listen, oh, maybe I could join TB12 and be part of it like you.
Another
questioning his journalistic objectivity.
No, well, I mean, but he also, too, was probably trying, he's just, when Dan gets offended, he goes on the defensive, and he probably just wanted to try to expose him, but I think it's pretty evident that everything that, I mean, Tom Curran breaks news, one of the best in the
business. He's the best.
He's the best. And all of, and
his, he's awesome.
His articles are well pointed. They are articulate.
So if he's writing an article like this,
you
know what it says to me? It says there's some fire to the smoke. There's some fire now. Fire meaning like there's some substance to the flash of a lot of things that we all think that could happen. I have to tell you, before the season began, even after that fake contract extension, which wasn't an extension, it was just a little bump of a raise, where he's still getting $4.5 million less than his former backup, Jimmy Garoppolo, and $10 million less than Jared Goff. Even before all that, I said, you know what? There's no way he's leaving. But when he negotiated. He negotiated he's a free agent after this season.
Yep.
So now Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft, they don't have the control that they once had to keep Tom Brady here as a Patriot. And I'm going to tell you something else, and you can say all you want about Antonio Brown. Robert Kraft, by hastily deciding to cave to peer pressure.
How could
and the
you
media.
Not?
Oh, okay.
How could you not? I'm just 10 counts in the end. How?
No.
Listen.
He got.
He finally went back on the Myra Kraft rule and was like, "Get out of my building."
No, but he got cut because of the text message to the girl and the group text.
And that's because he's a ticking time bomb.
I understand that.
I gotta say this. I mean, finish your point.
My thing is this: is that. I think Brady, that you can see it on the sidelines. You can sense even after they won at Philadelphia, up to that point, that was their best win of the year.
That was the most frustrating thing for me.
But a minute and 40-second post-game press conference, very Cam Newton-ish, if I do. And that's the only time I'm ever going to put Cam Newton in the same breath as Tom Brady.
Please, God, thank you.
Yeah. Very Cam Newton-ish. That said a lot to me. And then you could see culminating Sunday night, no weapons, 24th in red zone percentage in the NFL. They're 27th.
Julian Edelman was the only one that threw the touchdown there.
Right.
He was the only.
That's right.
Hey, Tom Brady didn't
throw a single
touchdown.
And Brady did not want to joke about that.
Oh, no.
At all.
And Bill wanted to joke about
but
it.
So
then that brings up the other discussion about Bill versus Tom.
My thing is that I think 2 years ago that Robert Kraft sided with Brady over Belichick about getting rid of Jimmy Garoppolo.
I think along those lines. I think Tom said, "All right, where's my insurance policy?" And then he looked at him and he said, "I got rid of your backup.
Right.
You know, there's nothing for you to worry
now,
about here."
But now I think with the fact, and Tom Curran does a really good job about, you know, illustrating this, that they had a chance to come up with a deal that would give him two more years and kind of commensurate with everything that he's done, and they didn't do it. And that, to me, speaks volumes. And Brady said, "Well, I want to be a free agent after the year." They granted him that. And this, to me, now, I feel that Kraft is now, he is back in the Belichick camp. He's no longer in the Brady. Brady, who was his fifth son, with all, you know, his fifth unofficial son, that this is now, he's gone back to Belichick, and that's why they didn't give him the contract extension. That's why they let him play out this year as a lame duck quarterback. And that is also why I do believe, here's my odds, and I'm an odds guy. I think there's a 55% chance he's playing somewhere else next year.
Oh,
I think
55.
You give
the edge.
The 25% he retires.
Yep.
And 20% he stays in New England as a Patriot.
Right.
I think they are third on the leaderboard right now.
Here are my thoughts. They're leveraging the fact that they want this back in their hands. An aging quarterback who has a lower passing percentage, at least now. I mean, a lot of this has to do with the receivers. He has a lower passing percentage than Mitch Trubisky.
No, Gardner Minshew, Case Keenum, Marcus Mariota. Yeah. No, I know it's bad. But here's the thing.
It's not
his fault.
No, that's what I'm saying. Right, it's not his fault. It's a receiver's fault. But listen, when Kraft puts out this deal and he says, "All right, well, we're clearly having issues here. You're clearly having issues with Josh McDaniels. You're having issues with Bill Belichick." This is they're leveraging this back into the hands of the organization and the front office, so that when they give him out a crappy deal at the end of the year and he walks and he says, "This isn't $30 million, Robert, like, you're not doing me justice. I'm the franchise quarterback. I've been here for 20 years. Kraft is all of a sudden going to say, like, "Hey, Tom, like, you're the one that wanted to do that. You're the one that wanted to walk." And we all know that it's not fair. What else is Kraft supposed to do? I mean, side with the greatest coach of all time, or side with the greatest quarterback of all time that is continually complaining about things and pieces around him? And I think that Bill Belichick is just completely over his BS.
Well,
why is Belichick so happy now?
This team has changed, and the identity of the team has changed nearly 3 years ago when Seth Wickersham.
This legacy's not going to change, though. That's the thing. I almost too feel like Bill's kind of just sitting here and saying, "Like, what do we do with the quarterback? Like, six Super Bowl titles, like." That legacy is not going to change.
No, but 3 years.
Let
me finish.
Does anyone really remember what happened to Joe Montana after he left the 49ers?
He went to Kansas City. He went to an AFC championship, but he was never the same. So 3 years ago, Seth Wickersham came out with the article that was talking about the friction between Brady and Belichick, okay? And there was a lot of certainly dissension amongst the ranks, okay? So Now, I think that Belichick and Brady, I will tell you this, I think they were in concert on wanting to keep Antonio Brown as a Patriot. I think Belichick would have kept him here.
So
Belichick
why had to answer, they brought him? Why haven't they brought him
Belichick
now?
Had to answer to Robert Kraft because Robert Kraft wanted Belichick. He just didn't want any more negative press. You know what? Here's another theory of me of why Robert Kraft wanted Antonio Brown gone, because when people were mentioning all of the bad things that Antonio Brown was doing with women, they were bringing up the Robert Kraft Orchids of Asia Day Spa stuff. And I don't think he wanted that all just to go away. I think that was a major part. I don't think he wanted
up. Why did, you know, so is that the reason he's not on this roster right now? Because he brought it up again a few
because
days ago?
Because the only mistake that Antonio Brown made...
Is Antonio Brown jealous that he wasn't there with Robert Kraft?
No, I'm saying the only...
I don't understand.
No, the only thing that... The only mistake Antonio Brown made as a Patriot for the 11, 13 days that he was here was sending that text.
On their watch. That was such an egregious move.
I get it.
Because as long as the Patriots have had... Let me ask you this.
Who's playing on Sunday for the Kansas City Chiefs as their star receiver? What's his name?
Tyreek Hill.
Oh, he beat his son.
We have audio tape recording about that. And the NFL, the NFL is on Tyreek Hill's side. Who's his agent?
I don't know. But all I know is that guy's playing on Sunday. No, it is Drew Rosenhaus.
Drew Rosenhaus
is also Antonio Brown's agent.
Okay, so why isn't he on a roster?
I don't know. I think the NFL...
If Drew Rosenhaus can finagle a deal with the commissioner of the NFL to let that was one of the most heinous and egregious things on audio tape, visuals, everything.
So they had him set.
And then they passed that under the rug.
At least you admit.
How is Antonio Brown not on this team then?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I've been saying.
There must be something else.
Well, I don't know. The NFL met with Antonio Brown 3 weeks ago for 8 hours, and they met with him for 8 hours. Okay, and he was a guy that I figured that. Then he came out with the apology. He came out with the apology afterwards to Robert Kraft and the Patriots on Twitter. Remember?
Yes.
So then you thought at that juncture that maybe there was something in the cards that maybe Antonio Brown would be coming back to New England wearing number 17, catching passes from the GOAT, Tom Brady. But guess what? That has not happened yet. I don't know why, but the one thing I do know is this. If the Patriots somehow, some way do not, because to me, it's not even about wanting Antonio Brown anymore. It's you need him. Does Antonio Brown need the Patriots or the Patriots need Antonio Brown? Patriots need Antonio Brown.
I think it goes hand in hand. I think that guy needs to be cradled and coddled and have his butt wiped by Tom Brady on the nightly. Hey, I want to move in. Why can't they bring in another veteran wide receiver to appease your quarterback that desperately needs someone to run some routes?
I'll throw one guy out there that's certainly better than anyone you got other than Julian Edelman, Michael Crabtree?
He's not on a team right now.
No, he's gone. He got cut. So he's gone. He's been a free agent since week three or whatever. They cut him. He's sitting at home. I mean, okay.
So here's the bigger existential question. Not the existential, rhetorical question. Forgive me. Why aren't they bringing in these guys? I don't understand. Why?
Well, they can't now. They could concede.
Picking guys off of... They can't pick up guys off the streets? Waiver wire situation? Why aren't they picking up anyone?
Here's the thing about it's not anyone. It's about the guy that your quarterback wants. You know, like they say, the happily married men out there say, happy wife, happy life. Professional football owners should say, happy QB, successful team. That's exactly how it works. And Tom Brady is not happy. And the Patriots are showing signs over the course of the last 3 weeks and even the Dallas game, I felt that. Let's face it, Dallas is garbage. They're about to lose again to the Chicago Bears.
Dude, they are getting blown. The biggest pretenders I've ever seen.
How impressive was that win then? Not as impressive as you thought it was.
How impressive was that win against the Eagles when you lose to them 2-9 Miami Dolphins? I mean, that's what I'm saying.
And Eagles without Jordan Howard and Alshon Jeffrey and Deshaun Jackson.
I don't think they're going to get blown out this weekend. I'm just throwing out there. They're going to lose. And they might lose to the Buffalo Bills as well.
All I know is this, that if you're the Patriots and you're Robert Kraft and you really, because I'm telling you, if this article by Tom Curran is true, if this article is true.
How much can Antonio Brown being on this roster appeasing your quarterback?
You're pushing him out the door. You not put him in a position to succeed. You put him in a position to fail, and you're pushing him out the door. I'm just telling you that if this team continues to go down the path that they are, and they get knocked off in the divisional playoffs,
They're going to get knocked down to the fifth seed, and they're going to lose in wild card weekend.
Oh boy! If they're on wild card weekend, it is over.
It's over. I'm really seeing a first round obliteration. They're going to get embarrassed in the postseason if they don't do anything. But I don't think Antonio Brown is not the answer. It's not. I don't care how much.
Well, who is the answer then?
Dude, anyone.
Why is he not the answer?
I don't know. Des Bryant.
Des Bryant is washed up. He was washed. That's why do you think that New Orleans cut him? Come on, Des Bryant. Antonio Brown.
Why do you think it's because he blew out his Achilles? That's why they.
Wait. Antonio Brown had a career high 15 touchdown catches last year. Do you know he's 28 catches away from?
Can I tell you something that kind of puts the pieces together? Why this dude is bat bleep crazy?
Why?
A couple of years ago, and this hit, this is on the internet, and you can just go and search into the YouTube interwebs and search it. Antonio Brown, a few years ago, when playing the Steelers, and the now suspended indefinitely monster of a linebacker, Vontaze Burfict, comes over the middle.
I saw that.
Do you remember that hit that nearly twisted off of his neck?
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
When you watch that hit, he got loopy after that.
No, I know.
No. CTE to the max on that hit, because speaking to some players in the league, they say that since that hit, he has never been the same.
I believe it.
He's never been the same.
He's been very different, and he's alienated so many people.
I'm just telling you that the power of these hits and why they've been protecting quarterbacks and why they've been protecting players. If you watch that hit again,
he cringes.
All of the things just suddenly make sense.
Hey.
That his it's just cerebral vertebrae and his neck twisted in a way that you are
It was the late great Sean Taylor or Ronnie Lott or Steve Atwater taking off someone's head. I mean, it was decapitating. So, yeah, I will say that. All I know is this. The Patriots better find some way to get it done. They better figure it out. Because if they lose on Sunday, this season is clearly going right down the toilet.
Anyways, last thing that's very funny.
Yep.
Have you listened to Steve Belichick?
Yes.
Speaking to reporters. Let me preface this for everyone. I'm sure if you have not seen this video, you must. Steve Belichick, in the rare moment that some of the position players get to speak to the media. And I mean, when you talk about inflection, tone, identical to his father, take a listen.
I don't know. I haven't really thought about how it correlates. It's just trying to do my thing, and I think that that's what's best, so that's what we're trying to do.
Steve, Phil asked you about the chores. Do you have a memory of your first football chore or one of your first football chores that he asked you to do?
Yeah, I got a couple memories of those.
And you want to share?
Any good?
Those are between me and him, yeah.
What's the best way to
We laugh about him now.
When did you first start watching film? Like, he started when he was in high school.
I've been watching it for a while. Like I said, football is my thing. I remember watching Primetime with Chris Berman back when I lived in Cleveland and just watching highlights, learning, going into my dad's office in Cleveland, spending time there, trying to watch film. Like I said, I don't think I knew what I was doing, but I was trying.
You can't tell the difference.
Let's throw in a little Bill talk for a hot second, just to compare.
The opportunity to coach the team and the players and the staff that we have here. Players work hard. We have a good group. Coaching staff is good. They make my job a lot easier. And it's the opportunity to be head coach in the National Football League for the New England Patriots.
Part of me thought immediately.
The apple didn't fall far from the tree.
So part of me thinks all right, he's playing up for the cameras. I mean, there's no way he's clearly, he obviously knows that this is also his time to shine, to show daddy that he's doing the right thing and speaking to the media right. I reached out one of the players in the locker room and I sent him this video and I was like, please, please just tell me that this is, this might be fabricated to at least play up to the cameras. He said, absolutely not. Steve and Brian, his other son, who I don't know if he, does he have a full-time position with the Patriots coaching staff? The younger one, Brian?
I'm sure
Brian
he does. I don't know for a fact, extent. I think he does. I mean, I don't think it's hourly.
Okay, so he said, no, this is absolutely, he goes, they talk exactly the same. It's like, what kind of guy says, hey, you know, like, hey, tell us a good story. He's like, you know, we got a lot of stories. We laugh about them now. Like, that line just killed me.
Oh, I know. Well, how about the part when he said when he was in Cleveland and when he's growing up, he enjoyed going in the office and watching film. How about that?
Instead of watching cartoons,
right,
he's sitting down watching
film. It was, and I've heard, and OMF here on the afternoon on EI, Glenn Ordway, Lou Maloney, Christian Fourier, they have played both of them, and they have like sort of compared and contrasted. You really can't tell. It is
it's unbelievable.
Not only the cadence, the voice, everything. It's like
I wish you would go to a proper barber and not have like three different like little childish haircuts. Like at least trim up the beard a little bit, bro.
I was actually going to go there. I got to tell you, the mullet look, not a fan. There's a great place in Belmont called Belmont Barbershop. It's right on Trapello Road. I go there. Go say what's up to Rashid. He definitely needs some manscaping.
I know he has a wife. Can she just at least take a razor to his face? Like,
right.
What is going on?
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable, and that's all the time that we have on this.
It's been fun, Courtney, with a C.
It's been fun. Mark James.
It's been fun.
We still don't have really a title for this podcast, but
The Courtney Fallon Podcast.
Experience.
Yeah, yes, or experience, whatever you want to call it.
Actually, that sounds too sexual. Like,
instead of CTE, CFE, Courtney Fallon Experience.
I love it. All right, you can hear Mark James nightly.
Yes.
And the late night hour. It's the late night hour.
And also
WEI
on Saturdays with Andy Hart and Sundays. Saturday, 9 to 1 with Mark and Hart. And then we're doing a lot of 9 to noons in December, too, on Sunday with Andy Hart as well.
Amazing. Yep. You guys have a great program.
Thank you, Courtney.
You have a great show. I've listened to you.
Well, let me just say,
it's appointment radio.
Welcome back home, where you belong.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, that's all the time we got here. Courtney Fallon, Mark James, signing out.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.